1 Kings 19 tonight, 1 Kings chapter 19. What I'd like to look at tonight is the cure for discouragement. How'd that be? Amen. It's been on my heart a while. And I think last Wednesday night I asked the question, how many of you all have ever been discouraged? And I don't think there was a hand that didn't go up. Charlie Russell, he's a missionary with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, and he goes to the same church that Bob and Charity go to. And ever since I've been knowing Charlie, and that was when I went with Rock of Ages, it'd be 19 years ago now, Brother Charlie, when he comes up and talks to you, he said, I want you to know that God has given me the gift of discouragement. He said, if you're on the mountain, I'll get you down off of that mountain. Amen. And he's just a big cut up. And actually, he's having just the opposite effect, Brother Steve, just trying to encourage people along the way. And you just have to know, Brother Charlie, he's a mess. Amen. He is the chaplain. Have you met him, Brother Steve? He's the chaplain at Northeast Correctional Center for the Rock of Ages. He's the Rock of Ages chaplain, volunteer chaplain there. Let's begin reading tonight. And I'm going to back up to verse 46 in chapter 18. Chapter 18 and verse 46, and then we'll read into chapter 19. The Word of God said, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. And Ahab, does anybody know what Ahab was in? He was in a chariot. What about a fella outrunning a chariot? Amen. Well, you know this? When the hand of the Lord's upon you, I can believe it. Say amen. And that's what the Word of God said, so I believe it. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. All them prophets were dead. And with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. And he himself went a day, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you tonight for the reading of your word. Thank you, God, for your people. Thank you, Lord, for the precious Holy Spirit. Now I pray now, Father, tonight that you would help us. Our God, tonight, if we're not discouraged tonight, we may be discouraged tomorrow. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to glean something from the Word of God that would help us in the discouraging days that we live in. Lord, we love you, and we know that you love us, and you haven't forgotten us. You know where we are. God, you knew where Elijah was, and you knew what Elijah needed. And God, you were right on time in Elijah's life. And I pray, dear Father, that you'd help us in these days. God will give you glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to think about tonight where we're at as a country. And think about tonight where we're at as a church. We think about folks that we have not seen since this pandemic started, and many we will never see them again in the house of God because of the toll that life has taken and the course that their life has taken. Some, it's by choice. Others, it's not by choice. They're just, their health is failing and they're frail and they'll never be back in the house of God. You say, Pastor, why would you mention that? Same reason I'm going to mention this. Beloved, teen suicide is through the roof right now. There's a lot of people in this world that's discouraged. They're just like Elijah was right here. They feel like, what in the world is the use? Amen. They miss their friends at school, and I've never seen anything to beat what's going on right now. You give schools thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon millions of dollars to prepare, and then still won't go back to school. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. It's easy to get discouraged. Elijah was a man of God. So much so, Brother Larry, that when Jesus come on the scene, that they thought he might have been Elijah or John the Baptist or one of the prophets, the Word of God said, or Moses or one of the prophets. In other words, that's how much he had the hand of God upon him, that when people looked at Jesus, Jesus reminded him of this man, Elijah. Elijah prayed and God shut up the rain. Elijah prayed again and it poured the rain. Amen. And he had a contact with God. I'll say several things tonight. And we'll get into the kind of introducing the message. The introduction will be longer than the message. The message deals with the cure for discouragement. But in introducing it, I want you to see several things tonight. First of all, I want you to see Elijah's favor. The Word of God said, that's why I backed up to verse number 46, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. I'll tell you something right now. We might be in the middle of a worldwide mess, but aren't you glad we're living under the favor and the grace of an almighty God? Amen. God knows where we are. God knows that there's a remnant of His children. I know we're not in the majority. We haven't been in the majority for a long time as far as the number of God's people. But you need to remember this. One and God makes a majority. Say amen. I believe with all of my heart God wants us to see the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. We see Elijah's favor. I want to give you this tonight, and many maybe wouldn't talk about it this way, but the next thing I want you to look at is Elijah's failure. Can I ask you this question? You have any of them in your life? You have any failures in your life? They used to sing a song at Oak Glen that I love it. I absolutely love this, the song. It says, though I failed the Lord, He's never failed me. I like that song, amen, because it's the truth. I failed the Lord. I promise you I have, but He has never failed me. And here, God's man, God's anointed prophet, is going to experience some failure in his life. And the Word of God said in chapter 19, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time. That's 24 hours notice. Amen. Jezebel. You say, Pastor, how could one man stand up to the prophets of Baal, and how could one man run? I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe, listen, we need to magnify right here how wicked this woman was. I'm going to tell you something. You can't find anybody that will name their dog Jezebel. Say amen. I'm telling you, this is one of the wickedest women that ever walked in shoe leather. Amen. And I believe Elijah knew that she meant it. Amen. And the Word of God said here, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. He came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He himself, he wanted to be by himself. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you've lived for God very long, there's times you just want to get away. You don't want to hear a radio. You don't want to see a television. And I'll say this, and I say it lovingly. My wife's at home tonight. There's times I just don't even want to talk to my wife. Amen. I just want to get away. Amen. And just hear, listen from heaven and hear the voice of God. But here's a man that's discouraged. He's listen, I read this. Spurgeon said this. Elijah failed in the very point in which he was the strongest. And that is where most men fail. This is what Spurgeon said. He said in Scripture, he said, it's the wisest man who proves himself to be the greatest fool. Anybody know who that was? Say amen. Just as the meekest man, Moses, spoke hastily with bitter words. Abraham failed in his faith. Job failed in his patience. And he who was the most courageous man, Elijah, failed here. And he fled from an angry woman. Amen. I tell you, I believe that the book of Proverbs said something like this. It's better to dwell on the corner of the housetop than to dwell in the house with a brawling woman. Amen. I don't know if you've ever seen one or not, but I'd have to agree with that. Say amen. I believe with all of my heart, Elijah's he's got a failure going on here. And beloved, listen, there's a reason for it. He's tired. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen to me carefully. Beloved, you can get, down here in the South, we say it like this, plumb wore out. And when you get wore out, you're setting yourself up. Say amen for discouragement. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I think it's something tonight. It brings me to the next point. You see Elijah's food. How that the angel of the Lord brought this up. Read it down here with me. As he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, the angel touched him and said, arise and eat. He looked and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals. He said, Pastor, what are you trying to magnify right here? Listen to me. We're Baptists and I'm not ashamed of that. We're Christians. I'm not ashamed of that. But listen, sometimes I believe there's not an emphasis, enough emphasis put on the fact, yes, the Bible said that body exercise profiteth little, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I believe there's not enough emphasis put on the fact this body's the temple of God, and here God comes to the man of God, and the first thing he's going to do is take care of his physical needs. We don't put a lot of emphasis on that. But God wants us to take care of our bodies. Amen. And God brings the angel. Here's a man that's tired. Here's a man that's hungry. Here's a man that's outrun the chariot. Here's a man that's running for his life. And he's not seeing clearly. Amen. If he was seeing clearly, he would see past Jezebel and see the God of heaven. Amen. That can handle Jezebel and ultimately does handle Jezebel. The Bible said here he looked and behold there was a cake baking on the coals, a cruse of water at his head, and he did eat and drink and laid him down again. You say, Pastor, I can't believe this man of God would lay down again. I'm going to tell you something. This man of God has been busy. This man of God is wore out. This man of God needed some rest. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, it sets us up for failure if we don't get that rest and get that nourishment that we need. Watch this now. And the angel of the Lord came unto him again, came again the second time. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me. Take your angel out right there. But I'll say this. I'm glad the Lord comes not just once. He'll come as many times. Listen to me. This man of God is discouraged. This man of God has given up. But I want you to know something tonight. I know what it is to give up. But also know what it is to have God visit with me and let me know that he hasn't given up. There might be times, beloved, when we give up on him. But aren't you glad tonight there's never been a time that he gives up on us? I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, Elijah, he's discouraged. He said, just let me die. Listen, aren't you glad God didn't answer that? Amen. Elijah's going to go to heaven, but it ain't going to go through death. Listen, God's going to send that fiery chariot. Every time I say that, I have to stop and hesitate a moment, because there's a preacher preaching in a big way, and he called it a chariot, fiery. Amen. But anyway, it was a fiery chariot. God carried him out of here on. That's a blessing, isn't it? Amen. God didn't answer that prayer for Elijah. He said, just let me die. No, God had something else for Elijah to do. We see Elijah's favor. We see Elijah's failure. We see Elijah's food. We see Elijah's father. What I want you to look at now. Notice what the Word of God said. It said he arose and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. 40 in the Word of God is a number that speaks of deliverance. He had a 200-mile, 40-day run to Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai. Beloved, listen, the Word of God said here, he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. I don't know what was in that cake, but I'd like to have a bite of it, wouldn't you? Amen. I don't know what was in that cruise there. The Bible said a cruise of water. I believe that must have been some anointed holy water. Amen. The Bible said here, 40 days unto Horeb, the Mount of God, and he came thither into a cave, and he lodged there. And behold, I love this. See, the angel of the Lord came to him to minister to his physical needs. Now the Lord, the Word of God said, the Word of the Lord. Have you ever opened your Bible and had the Word of the Lord to come to you? When you're discouraged, when you wasn't seeing things clearly, when you thought there's no way out, the Word of God said, the Word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what dost thou here, Elijah? And Elijah had an answer. He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. I want to say something tonight. I know y'all are familiar with this text, but as I looked at it this time and as I studied, there was a thought that came to my mind. The Word of God said here, he came to the cave, the Word of the Lord came to him. He said, I'm jealous for the Lord of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. Don't you reckon that somewhere in the backside of Elijah's soul, I can't prove this, but don't you reckon that he had hoped that when God, the God of heaven, answered by fire and showed him that Baal was not God, don't you reckon that he had hoped that Ahab might change his ways, that Jezebel might change his ways, that Israel might repent and change their ways? Why does a prophet prophesy? Why does a man of God preach if he's not hoping somebody will get a hold of it and get right with God? Here's the man of God. Hey, no wonder he's discouraged. Amen. And it just seems like, beloved, listen to me tonight. It seems like ain't nobody listening. I'm going to tell you, that's a dangerous lie to swallow. You say, how do you know, Pastor? Because I've swallowed that lie before. Brother Larry, there's 700 that's not bound. And you can't tell me that this man of God, Elijah, didn't have a big impact in their life. Elijah didn't know it. Woo! But they knew it. I believe there's a lot of times there's things the pastor, the preacher don't know, but we don't have to know. We got to believe God. He said his word will not return void. Put the word of God out there. If the word of God won't get it done, it ain't going to get done. Just put the word of God out there. I tell you,
I would love to see people respond. Love to. But we got to get past wanting to die just because we don't see it when we want to see it. I believe one of the things that's going to make heaven heaven is when one of them walks up and tells you, I heard you on the radio. I heard you in a revival meeting. I didn't move that night. Matter of fact, I ran into that a while back. A fellow that goes to church in Rogersville, he stood up and testified in a meeting. He said, Brother Vinoy came to my house, and Brother Vinoy wept with me. And he said, I could have got saved, but I didn't get saved. I didn't even know that he had been saved. I had been saved. Amen. Singing for God. Taking care of a group of youth. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, beloved, listen. If all we're not supposed to be preaching for results. We're not supposed to be living for results. We're supposed to be living for God. We're supposed to be preaching for God. We're supposed to be, beloved, listen, witnessing for God. And the rest of it's up to God. I'm not one of these hyper-Calvinists that says, well, we don't have any responsibility in the matter, because we do. God said, I set thee to be a watchman. Amen. You sound the warning and they don't listen, their blood's on their head. You don't sound the warning, I'll require their blood at your hands. That's what the Word of God said. We see Elijah's father. You say, Pastor, I don't know why you're trying to magnify that. Because I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen to me carefully. There are people in this building tonight that wouldn't be in this building tonight if it wasn't for the Father. It wasn't something you cooked up. You didn't want to go. But the Father came where you were when you couldn't get to where He was. And encouraged you. Helped you. What a blessing tonight. We see Elijah's father. Let's read on here. And the father, he said here, they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and a strong wind rent the mountains. By the way, beloved, this is really magnifying part of what I'm trying to say tonight. Watch it now. The great and the strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. Sometimes that's what we want to see. We want to see a great stirring. Say amen. Notice what the Word of God said. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still, small voice. I tell you tonight, I'm so glad I know what Elijah's talking about here. I can remember the night I was saved, hearing that still, small voice. My pastor wasn't thundering that night about hell. And beloved, he wasn't thundering about the judgment of God. He was preaching a message to try to encourage the church. I didn't get much of it because all I was hearing was that still, small voice. You're lost, son. You're lost. You're lost. Oh, dear God, to be lost. That gets us in a good position to get saved. You're lost. You're lost. I remember when God was dealing with my heart, and I know that when He called me to preach, I know another time when He said, you're going to be my pastor. I can remember it like it was yesterday, walking down a long corridor, Landmark Baptist Church. My pastor had left both services to me. He was gone in a meeting somewhere. They said, "Who's preaching for you today?" He said, "I got a young preacher in my church." They said, "Are you crazy?" That's what they said. "Are you crazy?" He said, "Oh, no, I'm not crazy." You know what my pastor told me when God saved me, called me to preach? He said, "I'll always trust you. You're not going to have to prove yourself." He said, "I'm just going to trust you until you prove otherwise." That's what he said. And he trusted me. I remember preaching that morning. I remember going, getting ready to preach that Sunday night. I remember like it was yesterday, going down that corridor. I heard that still small voice. But it was a whole lot like Balaam's ass, too. It's like I rubbed into a wall. The Holy Ghost said, "You didn't ask me what they needed." There I was, Brother Steve. Had a good message, I thought. Ready to preach. Excited to preach. Brother Mays Jackson said one time a woman told him, said, "I believe you could preach at the drop of a hat." He said, "Yes, ma'am. And I have been known to drop the hat." God's men love to preach. They don't have to preach. They get to preach. They love it. I turned around after running into that wall. Ran back to the corner of that Sunday school room. Y'all would have been so tickled if you'd have seen my office. There's a little desk in the corner of a Sunday school room. Three of them shelving brackets. A 1x12 about 6 foot long. Had about 4 books on it. Ain't no use putting no more of them on it anyway. I ain't going to read them. It's that right there. Gets my attention. I ran back in there, fell down on my knees, and I said, "Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, I didn't ask you what they needed. Oh, God, it's almost preaching time. You'll have to show me." I went over to the book of Peter, read a text, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, as though some strange thing had happened to you." I went to the pulpit without any notes, with just a thought from God, and preached on this subject, another trial. Why me, Lord? Did not know it, Brother David. God is my witness. It was unusual in our church, just like it is here. Unusual to just see the altar filled with people. It happens once in a while, but not very often. I preached that Sunday night. And I'm telling you, the altar was full. People crying out to God. While I'm standing there amazed at what God had done, one of the deacons handed me a note that said, "Pray for Linda. She has a lump in her breast." That was his wife. "She'll be seeing the doctor tomorrow." Half the church knew it. I didn't know it. But guess who besides half the church knew it? The God of heaven. I didn't mean to say all that tonight, but I'm telling you it's important to be able to hear the still, small voice of God. Amen? And here's Elijah's father visiting with him. He said, "Go forth and stand." In verse number 12, the earthquake. We see Elijah's father. He said in verse 14 again, "I have been very jealous of the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Notice this. "And the Lord said unto him," we have the word of the Lord. We have a still small voice. Aren't you glad God don't give up on us? And then the word of God said, "And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, Abel Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass, that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. I see Elijah's father, he comes to encourage, but I see Elijah's fruitfulness. 7,000 men, you cannot tell me, beloved, that Elijah didn't have an impact in these men's lives. That God, they hadn't seen the miracles that Elijah had done. They hadn't heard the messages that Elijah had given out. We see his fruitfulness. And then we see Elijah's faith. You say, Pastor, I thought you were going to talk to us about overcoming discouragement. Yes, but after I get through with the introduction. I want you to see Elijah's faith. Look in verse 19. What did verse 15 say? And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way. What does verse 19 say? So he departed thence. You say, Pastor, why is that important? How many believes it's important whatever God said? You remember Mary at the first miracle, the marriage of the wedding of Cana? What'd she say? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. I mean, that saying was popular before Nike ever come along. Just do it. Whatever he says to you, just do it. You remember the last message Brother Don preached here in our church? He said, there's a go in the gospel. You remember that? And he said, no go, no low. He said, go and preach the gospel. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Here's a man. You say, Pastor, what is faith? Faith is acting upon what God says. God told Elijah to go, and he went. It reminds me of the book of Acts, chapter number 8, when Philip went down to the desert. Word of God told Philip, arise and go. And the word of God said he arose and went. I've often said it jokingly and kiddingly. He couldn't have been a Baptist because he'd had to pray about it about a week anyway, at least a week, if not a month. So he departed thence, and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. I never thought about this before studying this time. Brother Steve, in this day and in this hour, to have 12 yoke of oxen, you was pretty well off. You had a pretty big piece of ground to take care of. And Elisha, if you read it here in a little bit, he's willing to take the oxen. Let's just have a little going off party. Amen. Let's just kill them and cook them. He's willing to leave it. And I'm going to read to you in a little while. He's willing to follow God's man. He's willing to stay right there and catch that mantle as Elijah throws that mantle down to him. Oh, dear God, I love Brother Coulter. I'm glad there's still some young men catching the mantle. I'm glad there's still some young men that ain't running after money and running after fame and running after the things of this world, but want more than anything in this world just to do the will of God till Jesus comes. Catch that mantle. We see Elijah's faith. Turn over to 2 Kings real quickly, chapter 2. We got to be quick because we got to get to the message. We're almost through with the introduction. I'm not trying to discourage you. My wife said that I never did preach a long message. She said, but the introductions and the closing's killing us. Second Kings chapter 2. Second Kings chapter 2. I don't have time to read it all tonight. But it came to pass in verse 1 when the Lord would take Elijah up into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. I love what Elisha says. As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. You know what I believe? I believe Elisha knew that God had something special for him. And he wanted to stay close to Elijah. It goes on again, Elisha, in verse number 4, Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, the Lord sent me to Jericho. He says, Lord live as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets that were Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy mask from thy head? He answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Brother Rick, I didn't realize that was in the Bible till just now. When I said, you know I'm a missionary with Rock of Ages, he said, yeah, I know it. Amen. Right there it is in the Word of God. Amen. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. He says, the Lord liveth, thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. They too went on. The Word of God said in verse 9, it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee. Boy, I love that. Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. It came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. The first thing he's going to do, Brother Steve, is put it to work. The Word of God said he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, smote the waters, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? You know what? In the middle of this pandemic, I can tell you where he is. He's still seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Amen. I told somebody the other day, I said, I don't know why I ain't been sick yet. Maybe it's because I'm too mean. And maybe it's because there's hundreds of people praying for me. I don't know. I may be sick tomorrow, but I won't be alone. I'll have my Father right there with me. Amen. Elijah has a bright future. I'll get to the message in just a moment. Someone sent me something the other day. I hadn't read it in years. I've read a couple different versions of it, but this lady was going to be buried. She had terminal illness. And she told her pastor, she said, now, pastor, she said, when they bury me, she said, I've asked them to put a fork in my right hand. And the pastor was standing there, of course, with the families, people come through, and all kinds of people were asking, what in the world, what's that fork all about? And anyway, the pastor was going to get to share it in his message. They were told that it was customary when they were cleaning up the dishes and things that they were told to keep their fork because the best is yet to come. Can I tell you something tonight, children of God? The best is yet to come for you and I. Listen, The Word of God, one of my favorite phrases in the Word of God is, it came to pass. Let me tell you something about coronavirus. It came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. You say, Pastor, I don't know about that. It might be here a long time. It ain't going to be here. Beloved, listen, when Jesus comes and I go out, I won't have to worry about it. I will have passed it on. Amen. Going home. What's the cure for discouragement? I'll give you three things tonight, and I'm done. Go back to 1 Kings chapter number 19. In verse number 5, as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. I'll say this tonight. The cure for discouragement. Number one, we need help from the God of heaven. I said we need help from the God of heaven if we're going to overcome discouragement. I love this, Brother Steve. Elijah didn't initiate it. Can I tell you this? I have a heavenly Father that wants to help me more than I want his help. That wants to help you more than you even want his help. The Word of God said that God is love. He loves his children, and he wants to help us. So if we're going to overcome discouragement, the cure, we need help from the God of heaven. Secondly, we need to hear from the God of heaven. We've seen in the Scripture here, we saw in the Scripture that the Word of the Lord came to him. We saw up here, and the Lord said, I want you to know tonight, when you get discouraged, Brother Lowell, that ain't the time to lay the Bible down. That's the time to read it more. You say, why? Because we need to hear from the God of heaven. Say amen. I believe many times that God speaks to us when our Bible's open. But I tell you what, I believe many times God speaks to me when my Bible's closed. But he speaks to me with my Bible closed because I'd had my Bible open. The Word of God said over there, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Then the Word of God said, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. We're different than the ungodly. We have a book, and we have the blessing of a Father that speaks to us through this book. We need to help from the God of heaven. We need to hear from the God of heaven. And then I say this tonight, we need to honor the God of heaven. Look in verse number 13. The Word of God said, and it was so. Watch this now. What did Elijah do when he heard that still small voice? I hadn't caught this before. The Word of God said in verse number 13, when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle. He humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. And in so doing, he honored the Lord. Listen, he's no longer wanting to die, but he's wanting to live. God didn't save you and I and call on us to die for him. It might be all right to be willing to do that, but God saved us and called on us to live for him. Amen. We need to help. Need help from the God of heaven. We need to hear from the God of heaven. And we need to honor the God of heaven. You know what happens a lot of times when people get discouraged? Instead of coming into the house of God, they go away from the house of God. Instead of spending some extra time, Brother Gary, in their Bible and in prayer, now they have no time for the Bible and prayer. instead of being a witness. You see, if Elijah goes down under the juniper tree, you don't have Elisha. This may be a selfish way of looking at it, but I look at my grandchildren. I look at y'all's children, Brother Justin. And if I go down under a juniper tree, how many believes old Slewfoot would like to do exactly that? He'd like to just take us out under the juniper tree. If Elijah goes down under the juniper tree, there's no Elisha. There's no chariot of fire. In other words, Elijah's plan wasn't lining up with God's plan. God's plan was so much bigger, and God's plan was so much better. It would help us to remember that when we get discouraged. God, you didn't bring me just to it, but you're going to bring me through it because you have something in mind on the other side. How many is glad you come tonight?